Modern Taxi proudly supports local radio and the Queens community. It is your number one service for fast local transportation. Learn more at moderncitytaxi.ca.
What's that like? The taste of butter? A pretty dress? What's that like to live deliciously?
Join me, your host, Chris, for The Witching Hour live on CFRC 101.9 FM every Wednesday at 12 a.m., where you can get your weekly dose of metalcore, post-hardcore, crying, screaming, and sometimes throwing up.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
They say nothing good happens after midnight, but why not stay a while and find out?
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
This episode of the Kingston Live podcast is brought to you by Grand On Stage. Get the most out of the Kingston Grand Theater experience with access to pre-sale tickets, the best prices, and the best seats. Tickets for individual performances and subscriptions for the Grand On Stage season are on sale now at kingstongrand.ca.
It's been 3 years since we last sat down with emo punk trio 47 Teeth at Roswell Rehearsals. And at the time, the band had just made their return after a four-year hiatus. It was an exciting time for the band. After the break, members Dee Prescott, Anna Robertson, and Jesse Aylesworth returned with not only the promise of live shows, but Apologies, their long-anticipated full-length debut record. The 16-track album found the band re-energized, and what would follow was 3 years of regular gigs headlining and supporting touring punk bands stopping into the city. Today, the band is gearing up to release a series of new tracks. This is Kingston Live. And today we're sitting down with Anna, Dee, and Jesse to talk punk rock, new music, and giving new life to old songs.
Welcome back to Kingston Live, 47 Teeth.
Thank you.
It's been a while since we've had you guys on the pod. I was trying to remember exactly when it was that we did the session at Roswell, and that was entirely too long ago. It feels like a lifetime ago.
It was. I was pregnant, so that's at least 3 years ago.
Wow.
It's probably 3.5. Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is bananas. I was going to ask about that. I was trying to place it in my head of like, when was that? Did you have the kid yet? And then I remembered. I was trying to think back on it, and I was like, no, you were very pregnant at that time. How is being a parent, being in a punk rock band at the same time? Is that a balancing act, do you find?
It's definitely a balancing act. Like in the first years of having kids, I've got two now. And in the early years, you're just in mom's own. We didn't play a whole lot during that time or jam. And then like, it's almost like a barometer for like how well you're doing is like how much you can get out and like jam again and do stuff for me again. Not that like being a mom is not doing well, but like in your own kind of time for yourself. But it's good. It's really good. They're 3 and 5 now, so I'm getting some me time. Love them.
Right.
Nice
on.
To have me time, though.
And how does that affect like the rest of the band when one member is, you know, getting so busy with new family stuff, new life stuff, and you guys are still just like, oh, what are we doing down a member, sort of, in a sense?
I think it was also like a weird time because it was kind of like the middle of the pandemic, kind of. So it was like, there wasn't like a really lot going on anyway. So it didn't really feel like we were really missing out on anything at all.
Yeah.
It was kind of just like a nice little break, to be completely honest.
We got our me time too.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then you got, in a sense, I assume, to come back refreshed because you have new stuff on the way. You're working on a new album. What can you tell me about it at this point?
So our last record was like the pandemic album. We had nothing to talk about. So we went into like our history and brought up a bunch of old crap. This time, this record feels more like now. It's more relevant to the last couple of years. And I feel like it's like the best music we've written.
Yeah, I feel like we really like found our sound kind of, because we also, I mean, years ago now, we started out as a four piece and now we're a three piece. So like the record we, Apologies, was it called Apologies?
Yeah.
Apologies was, yeah, like this dump of just pandemic stuff. And so now it's like, okay, cool. Like we found our footing and like this is what we're doing.
I love the concept of calling something a pandemic record too, because it's so true. Like people think of a summer record or a winter record or like these feelings of albums, but the pandemic is such a distinct point in time, and so much like music either came out of that or felt like it really reflected that moment. Did you guys have records that you were really into at that time that you listen back to now and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do this because it feels like that time where the world was sort of over?
I had a lockdown playlist that I remember like creating maybe like the first week of like official like lockdown.
2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's going to be 2 weeks. Like, oh, I was in the middle of like, I was going to move to Ottawa. But I made this playlist, and like every once in a while I'll check back in on it just to make myself hurt a little, you know?
I 100% get that. Yeah. I was listening to, do you guys know Spanish Love Songs? I was listening to Brave Faces, Everyone earlier today, and that was like, that came out like February 2020.
Right.
And I felt like that was the pandemic record. The whole thing is just so bleak. And listening to that today, I'm like, wow, they were like a month ahead of everybody else. They nailed this before the rest of us. But same thing, it gives you that little bit of heartache of like, oh, I don't know if I'll go outside ever again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about new music, you guys have been playing some new shows as of late. You did just open for punk legends, Propagandhi, at the Broom Factory. What was that experience like for you?
So cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. I've liked Propagandhi since high school. And so it was kind of surreal. We just kind of like threw our name in the hat, just being like, I don't know, maybe, you know, and then we're so beyond stoked to actually be able to do it. And they were just really nice, down to earth. Kind of awkward.
super awkward. But then it's like, we're also awkward. So like meeting them at like the end, it was like, hi, I'm awkward. And they're like, we're awkward. It's like these two awkward parties, like conversing.
Yeah. It was just cool. And it was cool to play like a sold out show. And the Broom Factory is just such an awesome venue. Yes. Like, love playing there.
Absolutely. Killer venue. Love the sound in there. Love the feeling of the room. Yeah. Last time we talked, I ran into you at Spring Reverb, just the tail end of it, and we were kind of talking about DIY spaces, house shows, stuff like that, and I don't want to spoil anything if I'm not supposed to put the word out here, but shortly thereafter, you played an Ask a Punk type show at the very venue we were talking about old DIY Ask a Punk type shows. Do you feel like in this world, in a more connected, plugged in, digital, whatever you want to call it, world, house shows are still as important as they used to be? And is it still capable of keeping something kind of under the wraps, just Ask a Punk now, where everything ever seems to be available online, all the information, including where house shows may wind up being?
I think it's actually like even more important right now, just because like playing that like Ask a Punk show, people showed up. Whereas like if you play like other certain unnamed venues in this town, nobody shows up. It doesn't matter like who you are, right? So I think like those kind of, it's something different. It's something new, and it's like people can just come and be themselves and stuff like that, you know?
It feels like exclusive a little bit,
yeah.
I think. And like, I don't know, there's like a rebellious side to house shows. Like, just makes me think of like teenage or college age kids going wild. And I think like Dee said, like it can just have like a safety or like a mini culture, you know, that you can't get at a bar. Like a bar has its own vibe, whereas I feel like a house show can be a lot more like comfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah. You brought up a great point of comparing it to like traditional venues, because there's sometimes a band will be playing, you know, again, unnamed venues, certain places in town. But I think everybody has that little vibe of like, I'd love to see that show, but like maybe that's not the best venue in town. Maybe the sound isn't as good as the Broom Factory, or it gets too hot in there. Just the sight lines aren't great. But a house show, even if you've never been to that house, there's like this mystique and this like appeal to it,
right,
where you want to go because, oh, that's really unique.
And I think the other thing too is like, I mean, for me, I'm old, and like these shows, like house party or like DIY shows are a lot earlier because there's like noise curfew, right? So it's like playing like a venue in town where it's like, yeah, you play at midnight. It's like, I'm too old for that.
Yeah.
You know, like I can't handle to be up.
We pretty much refuse that.
Yeah. So it's like, sorry. Oh, do you want to play a show? You go on at 9:30 and it's like, perfect. And that's like a headlining spot.
I do love, there seems to be a quiet revolution of matinee shows happening in this city right now.
Yeah.
100% in all bring ages. It. Like bring love the all ages matinee stuff back. Because that was like our whole youth was all ages shows that I'm 477 and these like old punk venues. Like my teenagehood would have been so different if I wasn't able to attend live music.
Tell me more about 477, because as a guy that didn't grow up in Kingston, I've heard some of the legends of these like old punk venues that aren't around anymore, stuff like the Scarezo Club and stuff like that. What are some of the punk venues we've kind of lost to the past that you have fond memories of or you would like to see come back in some spiritual form? Stuff like, I have a vague familiarity of the Artel. That was a little bit of just as I got here, it was shutting down. Tell me more about old venues like that.
477 was epic. It was a gay bar. It was on Princess Street. 477 Princess.
Mystery solved.
There was an upstairs and a downstairs, and that definitely changed the vibe of the show. The downstairs was pretty gross.
Pretty grimy. So, like, pretty grimy. And it's like, what, like, four of this size room? Like, it wasn't very, like, the main room wasn't very big. The, like, broken mirror on the wall and stuff like that.
The bathroom had saloon-style doors. So, like, you would have a friend sometimes stand, like, in the crease.
Because
it's very hard to hold a saloon-style door closed.
Because if not, someone was barging in on you, like, 100%. Like, someone was coming through those doors. Like, I think near the end, like, there was only like one of the saloon doors even too. Like there wasn't like a whole lot.
Yeah, it was kind of perfect. But like honestly, the bands that came through some of these places, DOA, like these like really classic big bands. Like, I mean, Mark and KPP just brought awesome acts through. Like Scherzo, you were saying, I saw like Between the Buried and Me there. That was like a real standout for me. They are the one of like the tightest live bands I've ever seen. And like Bear vs. Shark.
And to play such a small, tiny stage at the Scherzo, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. Like Behemoth played, like
crazy bands. And like this, it was more of like a culture where like Wednesday nights were punk shows and everyone just went to the punk shows. Didn't matter who was playing. It was just like the thing you did. So if people saw your band two or three times, like they were up front, like singing along and stuff, like that doesn't seem to happen these days. I'm trying to find that again.
I know. And it's like, I think we got spoiled like growing up with that. And so now it's like when someone's not in the front row singing all the words, you're like, what's going on?
I love that you mentioned Bear vs. Shark. I'm taking a complete aside here to just put this out into the universe. Play some Canadian dates.
Yeah.
They've been on this reunion tour for like, what, 2 or 3 years now? I don't think they've played Canada once.
I wonder if there's a reason for that. They may be.
I'm considering that.
Not saying anything, but.
I also want to go back to the mention of the bathrooms at the 477, because I'm just now realizing there's got to be, someone needs to do a study on this. There's a direct correlation of the greatness of a punk rock venue and how weird and bad the bathrooms are.
It's true. Mm. It would certainly be the case for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best was there was a dog named Bailey that like lived off poutine. So, like, James like literally did not buy this dog food. It just lived off like floor scraps and poutine, which is like, at the time I thought it was like so funny, and now I'm like, that's so terrible. Oh, like, the dog is only eating poutine.
Poor dog.
But
so unhealthy.
But yeah, I'm sure Bailey ate a couple cigarette butts here and there as well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I have so many good memories from that place, though. Like, one of my high school boyfriends I met there.
Oh.
Like, there's a lot of, like, personal connections.
We met there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We played there a number of times. I'm trying to think of any other. Like, Artel was definitely later. I played there more with the Diaries, like, the folky thing that I did. What was that one? Was it also the Artel that was on Queen Street that we played like early on?
Like 47? Queen and Wellington?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was the Artel there, and then they moved to Sydenham Street. So there was like a couple different versions of the Artel too. There
Clark
was like
Hall
Wally's.
Pub was like
Clark Hall.
Clark Hall. I can never remember where Wally's was.
I think it was in the West End or something.
Right.
There's a couple shows there. Kokomo had like bigger acts.
Oh yeah,
like Nashville Pussy played there.
Nashville Pussy played.
That is now, what is it called? Like Chuck's Roadhouse. Right. Yeah, Roadhouse. Was Blue Martini. Yeah.
Let's talk about another thing that I've always felt was a key part of old punk rock, which is compilations. I feel like in a world where there's so many streaming options, there aren't really compilation records anymore. And I felt so many great punk bands I always discovered through comps. Do you feel like there's a modern equivalent of that now in such a, like a digital world?
It's weird that you bring that up because we literally just released a compilation. We were on a compilation that was just released.
Tell me more.
Yeah, there's a guy, John, in Toronto that puts out these compilations and asked us to throw a song on. So that's super cool. So I think like people might be like recognizing that there's an empty space there for that.
Because Jesse, you actually listened to some of it, right?
Yeah, there's some really good stuff on there. It's like a 40 tracks, it's a double disc compilation. It's all like Southern Ontario bands and I think one Australian band.
Ooh.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's really good.
It just reminds me of Napster because like my music taste is so weird, or like my music memory, I guess more. Because like there was compilations, so you get like one track from random bands, and then there was Napster where you can like download one song at a time. So I was not like an album person. Mm. I didn't like have the money to go to HMV and buy every single CD that I wanted. So for me, it's like, oh yeah, I know this song. I know nothing else of that band. You know what I mean?
There's so many bands where I would like hear one song on a compilation and I'd be like, I don't know if they're for me. And it was just an off song, you know,
right.
Like years later, once you had access to everything all the time, something else from them would pop up on my Discover feed or whatever and be like, wait a second, this is what the Get Up Kids sound like? What if I've been missing this whole time?
Totally. Yeah. Or it could be the opposite where you like get a compilation, you really like the one song, and then you go and buy the CD and you're like, ah, the rest of this album sucks.
It's the only good song.
Yeah.
That was the closest you got to gambling as a child.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, one great song, I'm going to spend my $15 on a CD. What a break. You guys have a new video on the way coming out, I guess, the end of this month, once this podcast is being released. What can you tell us about the creation of the music video, everything surrounding it?
Earthy, woodsy, witches.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Yeah. It was filmed at my cottage. We had 15 women and us. How much do we want to give away?
I don't know.
Justin Holland was the filmographer. He's done three of our other videos. So that was really fun. Like, I feel like we just jive and he knows our vibe and super excited. This track is like a little bit of like a chiller emo kind of track.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty moody and dynamic.
Yeah, moody, I'd say, yeah.
That's a great tease. I love it. I can't wait for it. And I think we're previewing a track on the podcast today, am I right?
You are correct.
All right. What can you tell me about it? Cue it up and let us know what we're in for. You guys can't see it, but they're pointing at each other.
It's called Portland Flower. It's actually a song that we started like 9 years ago. And if you want to get real spiritual, it is a 9-year in numerology this year. 2025 adds up to 9. And I'm in a personal 9-year, and this was written 9 years ago. So we like resurrected it, brought new life to it, changed stuff around. It was like one of those songs that like we kept trying to make work, and it would just like, and it almost became like a band meme. We're like, oh, Portland Flower.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was like leaving an engagement and getting together with a new person and like in this middle ground where I didn't know if I was making the right decisions and I didn't know if I was making mistakes. And that's kind of what the song is about, going forward in your life, just into the unknown.
Fell in love with the way it felt. This is my new music.
This episode of Kingston Live is brought to you by Grand Onstage. Grand Onstage takes you beyond the regular Kingston Grand Theater experience. It's a subscription option that gives you access to pre-sale tickets, the best prices, and the best seats. That means you can customize your own individual package starting at just 4 performances. Want to bring friends? Subscriber pricing applies to their tickets too. And if your plans change, just exchange your tickets for another performance. Tickets for individual performances and subscriptions for the Grand Onstage season are on sale now at kingstongrand.ca.
47 Teeth, Portland Flower. I cannot wait for the new record. Do we have a rough release window on the new one yet?
The new video is going to be released at the end of October. Our plan is maybe to do a couple more singles till the end of this year and then early next year.
Fingers crossed. The whole album. Yeah.
Is there anything you want people to know about 47 Teeth right now that they don't know that you want to put out into the universe?
If you didn't know where we got our name, it came from a Bazooka Joe comic.
Did it really?
Yeah. It's like one of the fun facts at the bottom. And it was like, how many teeth do a mosquito have? And it's 47. Huh. So we're called 47 Teeth.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
That is good to know. I genuinely was counting my teeth earlier today. And I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to have 47 of them. No.
Yeah. I don't know how many a human is supposed to have, but it's not 47.
I think it's less than 30-something.
Yeah.
My girlfriend told me one of her friends, like, has 30-some-odd teeth. And she said it to me as if I was supposed to react to that information. And then I just started counting my own. And I was like, is that a lot? I don't know. I've never counted how many you're supposed to be in there.
That's funny. Can we also plug our radio show? Is that?
Of course.
Dee and I have a radio show every Sunday on Amherst Island Radio. 101.3 FM at 4 p.m.
It's called All the Feels, the show where we feel and reveal a little too much.
It's like a very diverse mix of like punk, emo, riot girl, pop, whatever we feel like.
And then just us randomly kind of catching up from the week. So it's like, so you get that kind of like little snippet of our lives, I guess.
That's a great tease. I gotta tune in.
Yeah.
Love our friends over at Amherst Island Radio. They do great work.
For sure.
Anything else we want the world to know about 47 Teeth before we call it an episode? Ooh, John wants to know, have you played in the radio station performance space at the new Amherst Island studios in Bath?
Yes.
Yeah, we have.
We did. Sonic Abduction is the show. And it's Shannon. I can't remember her last name.
Myra?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible with names, as you can see. It's like the third time I've been like, Justin, what?
I swear I introduced myself to her like 4 times before I remembered her name or even meeting her. Like, I felt so bad at the moment that, and I continue to.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Yes, so we played on Sonic Abduction, and it's actually how we got the radio show, because both of us, Dee and I, were like, this is doable. We can do this.
Yeah.
We had like talked about creating a podcast or something. We're like, no, this is kind of sweet, because with podcasts, you can't just like play copyrighted music, but on the radio you can.
Yeah. So it just totally worked out.
Yeah. It's all volunteer based there. So say, can I? And they're like, yeah.
They're like, how many shows do you want?
How long?
It is very punk rock in spirit there. It's kind of the DIY equivalent of a radio station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure hanging out with you guys. Always a pleasure catching up. I can't wait for the new record. Can't wait for the new music video. And thanks so much for stopping by.
Awesome. Thank you.
This has been Kingston Live. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it, tell a friend, or subscribe on your platform of choice. For show listings, artist info, and all things Kingston music, check out kingstonlive.ca. Kingston Live was produced in Kingston by Soundwise. Hosted by Riley Jabor. Voiceover and audio production by John Sanfilippo. Writing and research by Peter Sanfilippo. Executive producer Rob Howard. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at podcast@kingstonlive.ca.
Hello, tis I, DJ Tangent. You may know me from episodes of Making Bacon, such as the St. Patrick's Day special, the Homegrown Live preview show, and the Spring Reverb Extravaganza. I have my own show now called Numbers with Wings. Join me and I will take you on a voyage through garage rock, punk, post-punk, cowpunk, Paisley Underground, and more. All viewed through my, some say, unique perspective. I will be broadcasting live on CFRC 101.9 FM Sundays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on CFRC.ca a few seconds later, or you can check it out at your leisure.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by our friends at Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present Sweat, a new single by local electronic artist Kakao that represents an evolution in his sound. Heavy, hard-hitting electronic dance music, looking toward the future of space and sound expressed in a high-energy, funktastic journey. The new song takes listeners to the forefront of the top tier of Kingston music. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Sweat by Kakao on your favorite platforms and enjoy it with us right now here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Keeping the power, keeping my guns with purple paint on my. Revelation Radio. Explore the sound shaping subculture. Tune in to 101.9 CFRC Wednesdays from 11 to noon to uncover revelations mixed into music from across the alternative scene, underground, and across the globe.
No rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Revelation Radio, Wednesdays at 11.
Mom and Dad don't look so hot these days again.
Hey, this is Sam from Punk is Dead Radio. Tune in every Monday night at 10 p.m. for everything from pop punk to proto punk to hardcore on CFRC 101.9 FM.
The we is how we see the world, which is that everybody is made up of lots and lots of different personalities, fantasies, attitudes, and that a multi-personality is in fact the reality, not the I personality. And that where those two things meet is the position that we're trying to work at, to break people across from seeing themselves as one-dimensional and having no potential, to seeing themselves as being almost anything they want to be, and that those different things don't have to always agree in the usual accepted way.
No Static, every Monday from 6 to 8 on CFRC 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. You never know what you're gonna get.
It's Harper, host of Phase Radio, airing on CFRC 101.9 FM every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m., where we'll lean into all our different phases. Happy, sad, anxious, angsty, angry, and excited. Tune in each week as we revisit past mistakes, explore dreamy adventures, and embrace current moods with a variety of indie rock tunes.
You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.